time were not doing that sort of thing. They were just plundering ahead and continuing their careers and trying to pretend that having children can make any difference in their life.
So your husband had no history of political activism?
Oh, yeah.
Yes or no?
Oh, absolutely. He's been political activism since he was 8.
So, did you play roles in the chapter first, and then on the National Board of Directors?
We were both, and I mean, when they were begging to take positions,
please.
Actually, I think I was president of Nacional and a vice president, and I don't think I ever had an office in the chapter. I was just a member.
Yeah.
And I was just a member. And then I was the president or vice president of Nacional. In fact, I was president the year I was pregnant, so it must have been in 75, 76.
Were you on the board of directors for 73 and 74?
Yeah.
Now, is that for the, that's for the national,
that's
right?
That's
for the national. Okay. Yeah, as vice president, and then as president in 74, 75. And then publications in 75, 76. Something good you can do at home, right? Taking care of the children. So, how is it organized?
As national president, would you get to decide?
We would rotate our meetings between the North and the South.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd set one meeting in Southern California, another meeting we might go up to Fresno or Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, my name is Long Drive to the Grapevine and go up to the other parts of the state. Mm-hmm. And we just decide where to have the meetings, and then we would focus on agenda and, you know, try to get our issues. And I mean, I've always had a certain perspective, and other people would have a different perspective. Mm-hmm. So we would hammer them out, sometimes not so agreeably, to figure out which direction we're going to go. And if we could just move on, everybody, get everybody on the same wavelength, I don't think of how much more we could get accomplished, but we would sometimes go in separate directions.
So what did you try to get accomplished while you were president? Can you remember?
I really don't remember what our priorities were.
Had you always been concerned with women in the media? One of the first things I did get was Maggie Cervantes sent me a copy of a speech she gave in 1973 at Santa Monica.
Oh, yes.
I think I'll probably be forced to like quote extensively from it, my one piece of literature right now.
Oh, I have other speeches that I've given.
Was that always a major concern of yours because you had started working in television? Or?
I don't know. I think somebody probably asked me to do
talk about that.
Talk about it because I was in television,
uh-huh.
So I did. I also did one for the National Hispanic University in Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
I've done a couple things for them. On the last one I did was on Mexican Americans in the media, and then I did one earlier. I've done two major publications for them, two major papers for them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you contact them, you could probably get them.
Okay.
And then there was my testimony before the commission.
Mm-hmm.
On employment with Mexican American women employment. But I really don't remember what the issues were at that point in time. I have to go back and look at notes or whatever, which I don't even know where they are now. That would be intriguing. It would have been what year? 70?
President in 74, 75. And then you did publication. Now, was that doing the national newsletter for publication? You did that for 2 years.
Yeah, just get the newsletter out. I think one of the things we're trying to do was expand the organization and try to get chapters going. And Gloria and I would go and meet with different people to try to get them interested in it. And they were always kind of mixed as to whether they should send me along because I was so atypical that would I turn people on or off. And so they were always asking Gloria, of course, to be somebody that they could instantly identify with the bad hand, she had long hair down to the waist, and she at least looked the part. But I think it looked the part, I always felt it, but I've never looked it.
You weren't into the hippie stage, huh?
I was not into the hippie stage. I had a boyfriend who was a hippie. I think I went as far as where we were certain Jews once, but that never fit.
That fitted with the sorority girl.
It never fit.
What was the, was it called the CFM report? Is that what it is? Okay.
Oh my God.
I just kind of what?
It was good, that's why I lost the rest of it. That's the only thing, because it's so close to being due, I've decided that's the one thing.
Francisco did a good job in that.
That I will really, truly, look at.
And then there was Regeneración, which is the other publication she did. Regeneración. So. R-E-G-E-N-E-R-E-C-I-O-N, Regeneration.
Okay. So, did you guys ever do stuff with NOW? You seem to have had pretty much along very similar goals.
There were meetings and things that were, you know, that were held, things that we supported, you know, that they did, that we supported. I don't remember specifically now what.
How about ERA, or did you just think that?
Oh, yeah, no, we supported ERA. Mm-hmm. I mean, we supported ERA. And interestingly enough, a lot of people think that it's not an issue for it to be side, but in 70, that was in the 80s, they did a poll, and I think 75% of the East Side population supported the ERA, so you really couldn't see the stereotypes of us, and people on the East Side being backwards and conservative and anti-feminist and all the rest, but really don't hold. And the same thing on abortion, I think it came out like 52% favored abortion, which, you know, you're thinking Catholic and conservative community just wouldn't even be thought of or dreamed of what it was. So the community is a lot more progressive than people think. Eastside has a woman council member and assembly member, the West Side doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
With all the so-called liberalism of the West Side, you don't have one single female representing them because of the wax and burning machine. So you talk about chauvinism and sexism, we've got it on the West Side much more than we do on the East Side. I don't know. I love that one.
What about things like the women's building? Seems like a strange thing that feminists got into, like self-help and abortion counseling and things like
we
that.
We got into it perfectly, and I'm at the moment did some stuff on body and women. She was really involved that kind of stuff.
That's what it fits more with them.
And we had there were fairs and, you know, big Mexican American events and university events, stuff like that. You would have book stalls, and in our thing, you would have book stalls with some of the feminist literature and stuff that some Mexican American women did. And there was a very progressive contingent out of San Francisco, Berkeley and San Francisco. Oh, what was her name? There was a poet. Oh, she was wonderful. I remember her name. I saw her a couple of years ago. Oh, she was a marvelous poet, a large woman. Anyway. They were very progressive in thinking. They were dealing with the issues of the relationships between Mexican American women and black women, and black men, which was very popular back in that period because the Mexican men seemed to be so resistant to the women being more independent. And so the Mexican American women seemed to be getting along very well with black men, at least in the Bay Area. It wasn't big down here, but it was big in the Bay Area. Yeah, there was some self-help stuff that came into different fairs and activities that were staged on the East Side. And mental health people and
yeah,
the one that started that came out of Comisión. Irene Mendez came out of Comisión Femenina. We got the rape hotline going. And so we had that too, because those are issues. I mean, rape was obviously a big issue on the East Side. Just like now you've got AIDS, I mean, it will slowly come, but you have basically the same things going on the East Side that you do in other communities.
I think that's all about the basic inclusion question, which is sort of, we're going to do that must be nice. So did you identify more as a feminist or as a Chicana?
because you came, I guess, through this kind of student movement to feminism, but you said it wasn't
both.
I mean, obviously you didn't feel you were just...
I've always not clearly fit in any one particular place. And I've always been able to relate to a number of different things simultaneously. And I'd say the same thing is true even now. I mean, you can place me in any circumstance and I can understand the feelings and the positions of that particular group, and I could go to a completely diametrically opposed group and I could hear what they have to say and I would understand and appreciate, you know, what it is they were saying. So it's a very kind of strange position, I guess, I've always had in life of not fitting totally in one place or the other, or being able to appreciate a number of viewpoints simultaneously, while still maintaining, you know, my own, you know, opinions and whatnot. But I would consider myself, you know, both of them, certainly active in both groups. And I couldn't really choose one over the other. I mean, both were important. You know, and obviously women's issues are important. And so, you know, being part of the women's movement, I was part of the Women's Coalition, and Solution of Leadership was one of the first organizations which was put together to raise funds for Catherine Neal and Joy Piper's deficits when they ran. The Women's Coalition was a really big power, monkey-monk group that was sailed through the Snyder's office apartment in Bunker Hill for many years. I'm involved in the trusteeship for women now, which is a real high-powered women's group, which Tony wrote about for the first time maybe last year.
What aspect of your involvement in the women's movement do you think was the most effective or important?
Probably getting, getting us recognized, let's say, on the commission, I'm proudest of founding Center of Venus, which is something concrete to look at the contribution to women in terms of childcare. And I think probably being a bridge between, you know, the Mexican-American women's community and the overall white women's movement. I think really being a bridge. I think that would probably be a real pivotal role that I played. Because when they wanted to get to us, they would come to me.
How much change in women's situation have you seen in the just 20 or so years that you've been involved?
I think in many ways, women, and all of them, because now you have Mexican American women in really key positions, you know, best schools and colleges and things like that. I think there's been a tremendous, women have moved up and have seen wonderful positions, but those women are still, I think, the exception. More and more, and look at the number of women that have admitted to law school and all the rest of it. And the numbers go up, but in terms of the actual role or power that you have in most institutions, I would say it's still about, there's still effect. In my news operation, the women that are there, by virtue of the women's movement, have no real feminist consciousness. And there's no push for women's issues or stories or anything else. And I use that position, we're very conscious of minority groups, but not necessarily of women. And I wonder if, we've probably peaked out and people probably take it pretty much for granted. And young women growing up, and even women in Comisión don't have any idea of our history or what we went through. Of what the issues were, or what things we still have to look at that need to be challenged and tested. And the whole era is very different from now than it was in the 60s and the 70s. It's a much more individualistically oriented era, and people just want to succeed economically. And they want the same kind of social consciousness of bringing others along with you or giving back, you know, to community in a way that I think people in my generation were very significant to do that. I guess we've come really far, but there's still so much further to go. And at the same time, basically the limitations that women feel are internally imposed, because no one can hold you back from doing that which you really want to do, but you have to feel empowered to do it. Of course, if social conditions tell you you can't, then you've got to fight that before you can. And all that still exists. But I think there's a greater awareness and greater consciousness. When I talk to young women and Mexican-American women, they seem to be much more open and aware of opportunities and the way marriage and the change of college and potential for careers. And now the questions that they're asking when I go to speak to Mexican-American women is, how do you blend marriage and career? Getting back to that one again. Before it was just, how do we succeed, how do we succeed, how do we succeed? And the question has to become, well, how do you integrate it all? It's very difficult. And we're starting to ask those questions rather than develop, which I think is real healthy. Starting to do those things in workshops and conferences and asking people who have done both, have done it all, you know, how you do it and what sacrifices are and all of that.
Do you think that the women's movement is dead? Because it's left the proclaimant?
I don't think it's dead because there's still so many issues that need to be resolved. I think the priorities are shifting. And again, until you can really address the needs of the average woman, which is not a college graduate trying to get a middle management or upper management position or who's not an attorney or whatever, I don't know how you do that. The community property laws and this 50-50 stuff is, I mean, the worst thing that could have happened to women. Very unfair, because it's not fair to women who have still given up a career and still given up a lot of things to stay at home and raise children. And how you ever recoup all the money that you've lost and all the time that you've lost, you don't. So there's still a lot that, you know, needs to be done. I don't know if the key is that you ask women to grow up and be essentially like men and place career first. And somehow you squeeze in having babies if you do that, and you squeeze in relationships secondarily. I don't know. I mean, unless you really achieve the feminist goal, which is to have two people sharing equally in a relationship and in childbearing, I don't know how women ever get out of the trap of having to work twice as hard, because if you're having a career, you still have to come home and assume primary responsibility for the domestic scene after childbearing. You still don't have any time for yourself. So it's a real, you know, real struggle in that. And yet women can do whatever they want. And the economics have a great deal to do with it. I mean, if you have someone at home that can take care of a lot of things for you, the drive, and, you know, do the dishes and the laundry and all that, and that backup support service is going to be critical. Economics have a lot to do with how free you are to achieve what you want to achieve. It's kind of mixed bag. I mean, we've gone forward, and yet we almost seem to be in stasis.